Welcome to Infinite Returns, Commercial Real Estate Investing, brought to you by Infinity Commercial Capital. We help people find money. We are investors, lenders, and financing advisors. And this podcast is about real estate investing and helping you. Whether it's investing in residential rental properties or commercial properties, we talk about lending and all things real estate. From newbie to experienced, from funding to the strategy it takes to find success. Welcome your host, Carl Baker.
Welcome to our show, Infinite Returns, a show about commercial real estate investing, where we talk about all things real estate. Happy to have you here today. I'm your host, Carl Baker, a licensed CPA, the host of this show, a licensed CPA, the CEO of Infinity Commercial Capital, the show's sponsor. At Infinity Commercial Capital, we help people find money. That's what we do. We'll talk more about our firm at the end of the show. Before we get started with our guest and our content today, make sure that you subscribe to our show or like and follow the show if you're watching on video or audio, and that way you can see our past and future content. So with that, let's get going. Today, I am joined by Tommy Kay. He is, as I've talked about, we are a commercial lender. We are doing financing and financing advisory work for residential and commercial property real estate investors. And we have a capital markets liaison. Tommy is a partner with us that helps us with our access to the capital markets. And I will turn it over and let Tommy say hi. Tommy, talk about where you're from. And, you know, we've worked together now for 2 or 3 years, and you've helped us out a lot. So say hi. And also as you end this, talk about what your favorite cause is, and then we'll get into the subject.
Yeah. So thank you for having me on, Carl. First and foremost, we've worked together for a couple of years, and basically what I do is I help them move money. So what I do is I'll package these loans, these commercial notes, and I'll help move it through the funnel to larger institutions in which they will securitize the notes through bonds, if you will. So there's a ton of different companies out there, ton of different investors, and this kind of trickle-down effect is how we get pricing. It's how we stay competitive, and it's how we kind of circulate money faster, so you can deliver notes faster and faster.
I tell clients all the time, you know, we do fix and flip loans. We offer a product that's commonly known as DSCR loans for residential investors, for multifamily investors. And I tell people all the time, these loans don't just sit on our balance sheet. They don't just sit on somebody's balance sheet. No matter whether you use us or somebody else, most of them get sold in the market for the purposes that Tommy just referenced. But it also recapitalizes an originator's balance sheet. So the capital from a bank, the capital for a bank to offer commercial financing comes from your deposit from your W-2 earnings or others. Your checking account is the funding source for a bank's balance sheet to be able to offer financing, lending, whether it's commercial or personal. For the non-bank private institutional space, that capital is coming from selling loans into the bond market that allows that loan to be serviced through the term of the loan until it's refinanced or paid off. But then that puts money back onto the originator's balance sheet so that then more money can be put back into the market, and it just creates a cycle.
Exactly. And it's important to note that most 30-year notes, you know, the term is for 30 years, and I get a question all the time, like, my girlfriend was like, well, she didn't know too much about a 30-year note. Like, I bought, you know, when I bought my house a couple of years ago, she said, well, what are you going to do if you ever want to move out? Like, you're stuck. And she didn't realize that, you know, most 30-year notes, actually, they're held within 4 years or less. Mm-hmm. Most 30 years are not held 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, and by the time that you're 2 months into a 30-year, it's changed hands a couple times. So whoever originated it, very rarely do they actually service it as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
but to your point, I wanted to to answer your other question.
Oh,
most importantly,
yes,
because I just got into it.
Yes,
so I'm from Springfield, Mass. I'm a Springfield, Mass kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
and I guess my cause,
yes,
would be rooted in Springfield. I'm a big dog guy. I have two beautiful dogs, and Dakin Animal Shelter. Wonderful place. Every dog needs a home. Every dog needs a good home. So that's my cause.
Well, that's awesome. No, you're right. We actually started, we were talking about our bios, backgrounds, et cetera, and we just hopped right into talking about the capital market. It's in the fact that loans are sold. So we didn't come back to that. I'm glad you kept us disciplined in that and talking about that. And, being passionate about your pets and the dog and your dogs is a fantastic cause.
Summary: that's basically what I do. I help Carl move money. So
yeah, that's fantastic. He's a great resource for us to help us know what's coming down the pike. And to that end, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. We're going to talk about how real estate investors are advancing their cause through financing products. But before we do that, I'm going to turn it over to Tommy, and he's going to talk about what's going on in the capital markets, what's been going on. And again, not to put words in his mouth or to project what he's going to say, but I think he's going to talk about expectations in the markets and how those market projections impact pricing. So Tommy, where do you want to start?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll address the big question, kind of from a macro standpoint. The general theme is that rates are going to drop in 2024, with the Fed announcement that they're pretty much for the most part done with rate hikes. I don't think we'll see rate drops, at the bare minimum till summer. Mm-hmm. So the expectation is that rates will drop. Inflation is kind of proving to be a little more sticky, mm-hmm. than people thought. Mm-hmm. For example, at the very start of February, the 5-year treasury was at 3.8, which our pricing more or less is derived based on the 5-year treasury. So when the 5-year goes down, our pricing goes down. When the 5-year goes up, our pricing, generally speaking, goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So in February 1st, the 5-year was at 3.8.
Mm-hmm.
And then inflation data came out and spooked the market. That 5-year rose very sharply, very fast to 4.15.
Mm-hmm.
So commensurately, the expectation would be that we raise our pricing, you know, was it 35 bips?
Mm-hmm.
We held pat because we kind of saw the writing on the wall that rates were going to kind of go up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act. And it's very hard right now to pinpoint pricing to both have the most competitive product out there and keep our balance and, or rather keep our product strong and
competitive.
Obviously make a profit.
Right.
It's hard.
Have a spread.
It's hard now.
Right. Well, like you said, we haven't had much of a price change in several months, and, you know, to be changing your prices with every five basis point change in the market, that's kind of unreasonable and just difficult to get done.
Yeah, because like, put yourself in the borrower's shoes. Like, they get a rate sheet one day, and then the very next day you're telling them, oh, by the way, pricing went up 10 basis points.
Right.
And then the very next day, oh, it went down 3. You know, it's just not a good way to operate. Now, some lenders do that, and they basically what they do is they'll say, okay, here's your rate, and then today's 5-year is here, and your rate is plus or minus whatever that 5-year moves after this.
Mm.
So yeah. Kind of an interesting way to do it. You know, give or take.
Yeah.
Give or take someone's preference as to what they like. That's not what we do.
Right.
As you know. You know, we get our pricing models I would say once a month, once every 2 months, just really dependent on what the market's doing.
Right.
And the market's just tough.
Yeah. So what are other things? I know you're looking at some slides, and I think we have a few that we're gonna show at some point. But we've talked about the 5-year treasury, and you mentioned that now it's over 4. I think I actually looked at it because we publish a rate sheet twice a month with some ranges for the types of financings we offer. And I was looking at that earlier today, and I think the 5-year treasury, if I remember correctly, is something like 4.3, if I remember correctly, right now.
Yeah.
What is
it's the, down 10 bips as of today. Sorry.
10. No, that's okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Well,
yeah, that's good news.
That shows the volatility. There's a lot of, uncertainty as people are trying to predict and anticipate what the Feds are going to do with their rates, because then that rate structure is what drives the markets in other cases, as well as expectation of what's happening in the market. What is the appetite right now in the bond market? Are you able to talk about that for the debt service coverage loans, for the rental property loans? Is there any?
Yeah. And I guess that question can be answered in a couple different ways. I would say the appetite is an all-time high. But the appetite is at an all-time high for clean paper. So the credit box has narrowed somewhat. So instead of a couple of years ago, you could get away with a 640 FICO or 630 FICO. Now they really want 680 plus. They really want 680 plus. They really want more or less closer to cookie cutter homes. Short-term rental is a little bit tougher to do now than it was a couple of years ago. And we've just, you know, we'll just adapt. But as far as the paper goes, the demand is at an all-time high. And I think where you see that is the rate differential between us and conventional mortgages. It's more narrow than it ever was. And as opposed to 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was still a 2.5% gap between us and conventional. But you look now, it's maybe 30 bips, maybe 40 bips, if that. So that alone goes to show that this product is strong and it's here to stay. Private lending is certainly here to stay.
The bar has, I've certainly noticed it in pricing and the underwriting criteria that inevitably changes. And that's what's important to understand why we're saying all this is the underwriting and the criteria, it flexes as the bond market adjusts their risk ratings and their risk evaluations. Because we can do a loan at any point, but we have to do a loan with the expectation of selling that loan. And if there's nothing preventing us from doing a loan at 650. But if our bond buyers say, we're not going to buy those loans, then unless we want to keep them on the balance sheet, we have to adjust our criteria so that we can sell the loan, which recapitalizes our balance sheet so that we can continue offering additional loans. So I think the point of all that is just to help articulate why underwriting is what it is, why it flexes the way it does. And you know, there's a why behind some of those changes, and you know, it's tightened up a little bit. I think it's obviously less stringent, than what a a conventional Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan is. It's less stringent, and it's less stringent than bank financing. So there's still a lot of advantages, but within the confines of the DSCR lending, it's tightened up a little bit.
Yeah. And it's loosened up, I think, from it's loosened up from last year at this time.
Yeah.
Which is good. And it is trending towards loosening up the credit box. And it's important to note all the advantages that we have from a DSCR standpoint. Like your underwriting, just take your underwriting alone. Like, right? So someone goes to you, your underwriting is in-house, your closing is in-house. I just spoke with someone that works at a major institution, and they're doing conventional loans. They have to outsource their underwriting, and the underwriting timeframe is taking 6 to 8 weeks. Mm. So it's just a lot of red tape, and there's a lot of minutiae you have to kind of maneuver.
So I know we started this little segment talking about the capital markets, and unless you have anything there, we actually, by default of talking about capital markets and rates, we can't help ourselves, and we just started talking about DSCR loans. But let's actually talk mm-hmm. about what it is. Let's remind our audience, what is a DSCR loan? And so talk about that. We've thrown out DSCR loans. We've thrown out 30-year fixed rates, but we haven't really explained what is a DSCR loan. We're going to go through probably at least two loan programs, and time permitting, this one being one, and then we'll probably talk about our rehab bridge loan fix and flip product. But then, Tommy, just explain what is a DSCR loan, and why would an investor choose it over a bank or over a personal conventional loan? What's the credibility, the viability?
Yeah, we jumped the gun a little bit.
We did. Yeah. So let's just come back to that.
That's great. But going back to basics. So DSCR, first of all, it stands for debt service coverage ratio. So this loan applies where you're basically qualifying the majority of the underwrite on the property itself versus the individual. You go to a bank for a conventional loan, they're going to look at you. They're going to look at Carl, they're going to look at Tommy, and they're going to say, what's your DTI? You know, how much money are you making in a given year? Versus what we do, we look at the property itself. Is it cash flowing? Is the property rent covering its expenses by a ratio of 1.1 or greater? Mm-hmm. So we look at rent divided by PITIA, which is principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Mm-hmm. And if that's 1.1 or greater, typically you have a solid cash flowing property. So that's what DSCR is, and that's what DSCR stands for. The advantages of doing a DSCR loan compared to a typical full doc loan is, as we just mentioned, a full doc loan requires tax returns, income statements. As I alluded to previously, it could take 6 to 8 weeks just to get an underwriting review done. With a DSCR loan, you're typically getting bank statements, you're getting appraisal, you just need to show a lease, photo ID. It's very light on documents. Mm-hmm. It's very, very straightforward on the approval process, because you're looking at, okay, they check off the FICO box. That's your personal,
the personal
credit
vetting
box that you have to hit.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then from there on, you're just looking at the property. So when you're just looking at the property and basing it off that, you know, you can get these things done in 3 to 4 weeks. And by virtue of all these notes are commercial, like you mentioned, you're closing an entity, not an individual name, which has a myriad of benefits for investors.
For example, it doesn't report to your credit profile. So it doesn't report to your credit profile. If somebody comes to me and they say to me, I want the lowest rate, that's my most important criteria that I need to hit, then I tell people, you probably should just get a personal loan. That will give you the 30-year fixed rate, and it will give you the lowest rate, but that mortgage will show up on your credit profile. Our loan will be a little bit higher, as we've talked about. I usually tell people for safety that it's about 100 basis points, which means 1.00% than a personal loan. That commercial aspect means the loan's not going to report to credit. And then by contrast to a bank loan, the 30-year fixed rate means that the payment is going to be based on 30 years, whereas a typical bank's commercial loan will be based on a commercial loan is typically a 5-year fix because they want to make sure they have an opportunity to renew that loan and reprice it. But then they'll base it as if it's a 20 or 25-year loan. So if your goal is to have the lowest cash flow possible, that 30-year fixed rate the 30-year aspect and the fact that it's fixed, which gives you the flexibility, is a hugely attractive point. One other thing, we're sitting here talking about residential. So these are 1-4 units, or even for commercial multifamily, these types of loans are possible. As an aside, we actually offer financing advisory services, brokerage services for commercial properties. If you as a borrower, as a real estate investor, are investing in mobile home parks, offices, retail, setting aside the different underwriting criteria, there are 30-year fixed rate DSCR type loan products available in the market. So don't tune this out because we're talking about residential investment properties. The same concepts apply for commercial, other true commercial properties as well.
Yeah. I think you brought up a really important point too,
yeah,
where it's all about cash flow. Cash flow is king over everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people get so wrapped up in rate that they sometimes forget to look at cash flow.
Yes.
Like they'll take, you know, we'll be at 7.25. The bank's going to be at 7.15.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly, it's not necessarily even a given that they're going to beat us on rate.
Right.
You know, with the ability to buy down rates, you could be lower than conventional. But that, you know, taking that aside, conventional is at 7.15, we're at 7.25, but conventional's crunching that amortization in 20 years versus mm-hmm. us in 30 years. So in reality, they're not making money on the property, whereas our 30-year, even if it's 10, 15 bips higher on the rate, they're going to wind up making more monthly and it's going to make more sense.
That's right. That's important. That's a huge criteria to evaluate that a lot of people forget when we talk about evaluating a loan and getting the right financing. Rate is not necessarily the first question to ask. So many other aspects are. The other thing I want to say, I hope I by no means are we bashing bank financings. Our goal is to help a client understand what their options are and to help them find the right solution for them. There are times, and I just want to say it because I believe it, there are times when it makes sense to obtain bank financing. And one, you have to have a relationship with a bank because there are other things that banks offer. There are aspects of a relationship with a bank that can help a real estate investor get things done differently than what we can offer with these services. And that is a truth, and that's a thing. We also offer this service because it does check a lot of boxes as well. And it's just important to understand what all the options are, and we'll help you evaluate the right solution, as would any good lender that is trying to do the right thing for a client. And in our advisory services, we're actually representing you, the borrower, and helping you find the right funding path. So, you know, we'll tell you if a bank solution is the better solution for you. There are times when it is, but just want to say that because I don't want people to hear banks are bad. We're good. That's not our point, but,
yeah, so certainly not an us versus them type of thing.
No, right.
But it's so important to know, you know, a lot of people don't even know that they have these options. Mm-hmm. They only think they can go to a conventional bank.
Right.
And they don't even know that we exist.
Right.
So
we've talked about the DSCR loan. Let's talk about for those people, because this is a very common scenario, for those people that are investing in real estate with the purposes of scaling up with using financing to their advantage and buying distressed properties and putting rehab work into a property to improve the value. Let's talk about our fix and flip, fix to hold product. We have a name for it, but that's essentially what they are. They're bridge rehab products. Let's talk about how a real estate investor could use a fix and flip product to advance their cause. So why don't you give a scenario in that component.
Yeah, absolutely. Class. So, well, we, you know, this whole hard money shtick really started 12 years ago with properties exactly like this. The whole mm-hmm. intention was of the start of private lending was fix and flips. Mm-hmm. It was, and back when we started, it was 14% interest. It was 4 points on the front end. You know, it was true hard money that you would find from your local guy that's just willing to get something closed within, you know, 2 or 3 days. It's much more institutionalized now. Mm-hmm. It's much more institutionalized now. So, you know, but the whole basis is you find a property that you think could use a little work. Could be 5,000, could be 100,000, could be 200,000. It really depends on the asset. As long as the after repair value, so your purchase price plus your rehab, that equates to your as is value or your after repair value. As long as your after repair value is warranting a return on investment, then you know it's that's where we would come in because typically banks aren't going to lend on. They're not going to give you the rehab portion when you buy a house that needs work. They're not going to give you the rehab portion.
Right.
And that's where we'll come in. You know, we can go up to, not to get too technical, but we can get up to, you know, 90% on the front end and give 100% of the renovation. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Many real estate investors, their goal is to infuse value into a property through sweat equity, through the construction, and they're trying to use as little cash out of pocket. And there's a whole strategy around that, and it's commonly called. And then from there, either sell that, make a profit, and then do that again, or convert that property to a rental property and get a long-term financing, i.e. the 30-year DSCR loan, and get your money back and do that again. It's a strategy that somebody in bigger pockets coined the Burr method. And that's where you're converting it to a long-term rental or a short-term rental, but converting it to a rental property and then getting your money back, getting financing, getting your money back and moving on. So there's a whole strategy around that. And when you are doing that, you want to use as little cash as possible. We help people understand how to finance that on an interim basis using business credit cards, but also providing the fix and flip financing, which gives a pretty high leverage on the purchase price, plus financing the rehab piece, again, to minimize the cash out of pocket. And again, the underwriting is really based on, as Tommy described, well, why don't I let you talk about that, Tommy? Similar underwriting.
Yeah, right? It's based on the asset again. So yeah. It's based on how much money you're making on the property. It's the factor, the main factors in a fix and flip are, again, FICO, the experience. We can do, you know, as you know, we can do loans with zero experience. We can do loans with 10 plus in experience. And then the asset, you know, as long as you're making 15, 20% on your money, that's good. And like you mentioned before, it's our obligation to, if a borrower sees a, you know, a property and they're doing the numbers out, I find it, you know, instead of going down the rabbit hole, I really like to look and see, and are there comps? Like, you know, there's direct borrowers out there that really lean on us. And if there's not C3, C4, which is a condition. So C3 is roughly a
condition of the property.
More or less. Yeah, yeah. C3 means condition 3, renovated, more or less. If there's no comps in the area, then, you know, you'll tell them, we're not going to lead people astray. But if there's money to be made, then, you know, A, the appraisal's going to we're going to tell you on the front end. The appraisal's going to tell us on the back end. And yeah, so, I mean, rinse and repeat. You mentioned it with the Burr strategy, but this is how people get wealthy. Like, what is it? 75% of billionaires come from real estate, have a real estate backing. And everyone that's a millionaire that we see, they did exactly this. They bought one property, they took that cash, they bought another property, and without really using any of their own money, which is the most important piece. So without using your own money, you could do 15 projects instead of one.
Right. Yeah. We hit on a couple points. I think it's with this loan product, it's a truth that it's hard to be, just, I can't figure out another way to say it. It's hard to be dead broke and do this. You do have to have some cash. We're not 100% lenders. You have to show you do have some wherewithal, some liquidity. That experience piece is important as well. And we didn't talk about this on the DSCR loan, but the contrast between those two loan programs is you don't actually have to have experience to buy your first rental property with the DSCR loan. And that's another important aspect. You can buy your very first rental property if it's a turnkey property, meaning it's rent ready. You have a tenant in there, or you put a tenant in there. That product, you will be able to qualify, all other things being equal, you'll be able to qualify for a rental property financing. By contrast, we do look more heavily at your experience and set the terms on a fix and flip loan, depending on what your experience is. You would still be able to get a loan, which means you can still get started in your investing journey with your first property. The terms are going to be different for the first one versus somebody that's done this 100 times. But we wouldn't say no just because of the experience. I think that's important to understand. Tommy, let's talk about, let's finish this up with a brief commentary about what are, and it sort of relates to the market. It relates to what's happening in the market, in the real estate market, and also what's happening in the capital markets. What are a few products that, or asset classes in which we are having some challenges having these uber competitive terms? Where are the snakes in the grass in the real estate market as it shakes out in financing underwriting right now?
There's, you know, the big one that's getting hit right now is the commercial space, the commercial retail space. Foreclosures right now in the commercial space are up have doubled what they were pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And of course, as there's more of a focus of work from home, work remote that the pandemic brought, mm-hmm. Retail space is really getting hit. And as a trickle down, the 5+ multi sector, so apartment buildings, with foreclosures upticking on those as well, financing is a little bit harder to come by. So as the years have gone on, we go from, you know, a 20 unit max to a right now a 9 unit max on those properties. Mm-hmm. And additionally, instead of a 75% loan to value, we'll only go up to about 67, 65.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So really,
yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought there, Tommy.
Sorry. Yeah. I was going to say the multi and the commercial kind of large buildings are pitfalls, but where we want to see more activity is actually with ground up construction. Hmm. We recognize that we're about 8 million homes short in the United States. Mm-hmm. And with a growing population, that gap is going to get wider. So mm-hmm. we recognize more homes need to be built, more affordable homes need to be built because, you know, the average income right now is what, 45,000. The average home price in America has hit 400,000. Mm-hmm. So ground up construction is a very, very big opportunity that we and the capital markets want to see more of, to be honest with you. So not so much on the multi. Multi's tough right now, but ground up construction is where you can make some headway.
It's interesting, you know, as a quick reminder, we have in-house capital, and then we tell clients that we represent our clients. So if our in-house capital program doesn't work, then we will find other capital sources. We'll figure out where you are, and this is how I articulate it. We figure out where you are on the funding path and find that funding path for you. So many times, these programs that we've been describing for you here are the right funding path and are the right solution, and will align with all of your criteria, more so than you even knew in many cases. But if not, there are other financing options that we will find. For example, I'm not going to be able to finance 100 multifamily apartment complex with the capital that we're talking about today. However, we have other lending partners that would be able to finance if you qualify and if the cash flow is there, all this criteria that Tommy is articulating, all of this still applies when you're evaluating a financing scenario. There are lenders that will do 100 unit multifamily complex. Probably it's a truth that Tommy has said, which is that it's harder to get done now if the capital markets are seeing that asset class as a risk. But there are other options as available. Anything else to say on that, Tommy? Did I say anything wrong there? Are there any other comments you have about the capital markets that might rebut that?
No, you kind of hit it on the head. There's a lender for everything.
Yeah.
So there's a lender for everything. So that's why you would go to Carl. He knows a lot of people. So
all right.
Kind of one-stop shop.
Yeah. Well, didn't really mean for this to be an advertisement for us, and I don't really want it to be that. What I'm trying to do is articulate to investors the financing options that you have available to you to help you advance your cause, and how you can get access to capital in ways that maybe you didn't know about before. And I hear it all the time. I've talked to people multiple times in the last 24 hours about some quite experienced real estate investors that only know bank financing. And those options are fantastic in many cases. But in fact, I just talked to somebody kind of hitting on what Tommy mentioned. they are trying to get a fix and flip loan done, and the bank is offering, instead of a 1-year loan in which we can infuse the capital the way we finance it, that bank wants to put them immediately into a 20-year loan, 5-year fixed with a 20-year amortization at 80%, not going to finance the rehab, and then they're sitting there with equity baked into their property that they can't access because they just signed this loan with a bank. Whereas we're going to put them into a short-term loan, get the rehab done with our financing, build the equity, and then we'll refinance that immediately into a longer-term loan immediately, 90 days, with a long-term loan based on the new and improved capital that you infused into the property with sweat equity. So just trying to articulate other ways that a person can access capital. And so I think we'll sort of leave it there for today. We've talked about the capital markets. We've talked about the options that real estate investors have for long-term financing, for short-term financing. We've sort of done that from a residential investment property perspective. But again, keep in mind, all those things that we talked about are available to real estate investors that are focused more on commercial properties, multifamily properties. It's not just specifically applicable to 1 to 4 units. It's the financing is done this way in, is available for all sorts of asset classes. I think that's important to understand. Tommy, any final comments from you?
No, I think I'm just excited about 2024. You know, I mean, 2023 was tough. It was bumpy.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping we got some smooth waters ahead.
Well, everybody's hoping the interest rates will go down and that pent-up excitement will be there. So thank you very much, Tommy, for being on the show. Let's segue into you've sort of heard us talk about Infinity Commercial Capital. I'm just going to briefly talk about Infinity Commercial Capital in a little more specific way as the show's sponsor. We do help people find money. We're lenders, financing advisors, providing what we've talked about today, permanent bridge and construction capital solutions for commercial enterprises. It would have been nice to talk about ground up construction. We'll have to save that for another show. We provide financing for everything from 1 to 4 units to multifamily to all sorts of other commercial properties. Value propositions, we've talked about it today. We represent the borrower to help you find the funding path. That 30-year fixed rate is a key value proposition, in my opinion. We offer the bridge loans, and we've talked about it a lot today, the simplified underwriting. No tax returns, no global debt-to-income rate ratio calculations, no global cash flow analysis, etc. So you can find more about us at infinitycomcapital.com. That will be on the notes. Actually, a little announcement we're excited to talk about. We just launched a new website. Haven't even talked about it publicly, haven't even shared it. But if you go to that site, you'll see that we've launched a new website. Looking forward to that. You can reach us at 314-403-7745. Email us at info@infinitycomcapital. You can find us on any social media platform. We're constantly putting out education materials. We're really just trying to educate the market and raise awareness. We don't do a lot of selfish promotions. We're really trying to educate the market raise awareness and educate the market. Thank you very much for joining the show. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate you listening. Make sure you like and subscribe so that you see more of our content. And we will talk with you later and look forward to seeing you on our next show. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Questions, comments, want to be a guest? You can reach Carl at kbaker@infinitycomcapital.com. You can find all episodes of Infinite Returns Commercial Real Estate Investing on all major podcast platforms and YouTube. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, happy investing.